Today is Friday, April 10th. You're listening to the GPP Shareholder Activism and Corporate Governance Newsletter. It is Deja 5U at Universal Music Group, as it appears Bill Ackman's pursuit of the world's largest record label has come full circle. After a years-long saga in which he built a stake in 2021, joined and quit the board, he is officially back with a Better Now proposal. When you can't get no satisfaction from the boardroom, maybe it's time to buy a sizable stake in the company. Ackman and Pershing Square's proposal is playing all the hits from the activist playbook. Redomicile from the Netherlands to Nevada. Shift the listing from the Amsterdam's Euronext to the New York Stock Exchange. Sell Universal's Spotify stake, take on new debt, and install a fresh board including Michael Ovitz. It appears these are essentially the structural changes Ackman pressed for during his time as a director, now in a new package that includes Ackman's Spark investment vehicle that houses the remaining funds from the traditional SPAC that didn't find a company to merge with. As was sung in Mamma Mia, I have a dream. The deal hinges on approval from 2/3 of voting shareholders, which makes the kingmaker in this situation the Ballor Group's Vincent Ballor, who owns a roughly 28% stake, including Vivendi's holdings. Ackman told the Financial Times that the group responded that his proposal was music to our ears, but cautioned that without Ballor, we don't have a transaction. As the Rolling Stones once said, you can't always get what you want. Universal's board, meanwhile, confirmed receipt of the unsolicited proposal and expressed complete confidence in CEO Sir Lucian Grange and the current strategy. Peter Gabriel sung it well. I have the touch. What happens next depends largely on Ballor. But after a stint on the board, a quiet exit, and now a new proposal, Ackman is clearly not done with Universal, and he's making his return the way only Adele could put it. Hello, from the other side. Now, let's turn to activism. Kirkland & Ellis partner Sean Matthew joined Bloomberg Deals to discuss new demands from activists as 2026's proxy season takes shape, describing an over-rotation from engagement to capitulation from issuers during contested situations over the last few years. From Reuters, Swatch urges shareholders to vote against activist investors' bid for board seat. The owner of luxury brands like Omega and Blank Payne has once again rejected Greenwood's bid for a board seat in a rebuke stating that the firm's candidate and founder, Stephen Wood, was not a suitable representative of shareholder interests. And from the deal, Americold Europe is in focus as a second activist joins Frey. The REIT, which focuses on cold storage warehouses and facilities, now faces pressure from Civ Capital after settling with Ancora in December. Civ is calling for a full strategic review and consideration of the sale of the company's European asset base. Next up, mergers and acquisitions. From the Wall Street Journal, why Matt Cormick's $65 billion deal might actually work out. David Wehner breaks down how MC Cormick Unilever may differentiate itself from former failed mega mergers in the food and beverage industry through a tax strategy, where MC Cormick owns 65% of the spun-out segment from the London personal care behemoth. On CNBC, Paul Weiss's Rob Kindler says 2026 could be a strong year for AI and private equity. The global chair of M&A strikes a bullish tone on larger deal price tags and sponsor-to-sponsor transactions over the remainder of 2026, stating that complications from the current admin can be worked around given a more commercial posture from DC. Moving on to corporate governance news. From the Financial Times, SEC chair says U.S. states should lead on policing corporate behavior. Marking a significant retreat from federal oversight, SEC chair Paul Atkins told a Miami conference that the agency must resist becoming a merit regulator and instead defer to states as the proper arbiters of board conduct and fiduciary duties. Also from Financial Times, BP chair faces RE election battle after board blocks climate resolution. Just weeks into a new CEO being on the job, BP chair Albert Manifold faces a contested re-election at this month's annual meeting after Glass Lewis and Legal & General recommended voting against him over the board's exclusion of a follow this climate resolution. In a new Harvard Law School forum post, The Conference Board's Matteo Tonello argues that CEO succession, board refreshment, geopolitical volatility, AI governance, and shareholder activism will be the defining boardroom challenges of 2026. Turning to IPO news. From Fortune, SpaceX, OpenAI, and Anthropic could reopen the IPO market or drain it. Despite the upcoming trio of highly anticipated public offerings and first quarter 2026 being the biggest quarter for venture on record, Wall Street is apprehensive of what this could mean for investor capital left for the broader market. And from the Financial Times, the investment management firm PIMCO suggests Washington should focus on affordable housing. By having Fannie and Freddie purchase more mortgage-backed securities, and that the Fed should remain independent. And finally, Reuters reports drone maker AVEX eyes $2.35 billion valuation in U.S. IPO. AVEX is the latest defense firm to capitalize on recent investor appetite as governments commit to higher military spending and move towards drone systems. From our desk to yours. This week, G.P. Purr's Caught Giant, a new play about the children's book author Roald Dahl. Written by Mark Rosenblatt in his Broadway debut, Giant is set in one afternoon in the summer of 1983 in Dahl's country house, opening with Dahl, portrayed by the towering John Lithgow, putting his finishing edits on the witches. What follows is a shocking discussion between Dahl and a publishing executive, who is Jewish, as she grapples with Dahl's antisemitism. Prompted by his refusal to apologize for an anti-Jewish screed in the form of a book review about Israel's war in Lebanon in the early 1980s. Through gritted teeth and breaking voices, we witness heated confrontations with moments of potential compromise that vanish almost as quickly as they appear. The weight of the conversations was surely felt over the audience. Rosenblatt threaded humor throughout tense moments, giving us a chance to breathe before pulling us right back under. By the play's end, Dahl's vile antisemitism was on full display, as was Lithgow's brilliance. After debuting at the Royal Court and claiming 3 Olivier Awards, including Best New Play and Best Actor in a Play for Lithgow, Giant is playing a limited 16-week run at the Music Box Theater through late June, and we recommend you catch it while you can. Giant was born out of Rosenblatt's identity as a British Jew and his growing alarm over present-day antisemitism. On that topic, see historian Simon Shama's piece this week, writing that there are now parts of London that are simply no-go zones for Jews. And in open tabs this week, Wired, Artemis II's breathtaking view of the far side of the moon. The New York Times, my quest to solve Bitcoin's great mystery. The Wall Street Journal, inside a corporate retreat that went very badly wrong. Robert Satsima's New York, restaurant bathrooms worth visiting. In upcoming events, April 13th to 17th. Semaphore World Economy, Washington, D.C. April 17th, Ira M. Milstein Memorial Conference, New York, New York. April 23rd, Berkeley Spring Forum, San Francisco, California. May 3rd to 6th, Milken Institute Global Conference, Los Angeles, California. May 6th, Sportico's Invest West Conference, San Francisco, California.